And one of the brothers, she wasn't sure about him, right? And she wasn't sure about his personality, his whether he was real, truthful, or whether he was a bad person to be around. Yeah, see, this whole rich families in Spain, they're not necessarily good people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she wasn't sure about this guy. She couldn't figure him out. And then one day, he invites everybody to a barbecue at his new place that he'd bought in the country. He'd bought this land in the country and built a tiny mansion there, beautiful, with all the, you know, pools, infinity pools and gardens and all the things. And her immediate reaction was, no, I'm not going. And I said, no, 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 you want to know about him? Let's go to the land and see what kind of person he really is, right?
Okay, welcome
to another episode.
Drive into the Res.
With your favorite hosts.
Who bumps the mic every time? Very.
And Inelia.
Who doesn't?
So today we kind of continue the theme of rejection, rejecting, and, you know, all that type of splitting and all sorts of things that go together that stop us from becoming complete and whole.
Powerful and able.
Yes, powerful and able.
Yeah. Here, let me hold that for you.
Okay.
And furthermore.
Furthermore.
This is about the land rejecting you.
Yes, yes.
Right. And it's what?
Connection ceremony going wrong.
Connection ceremony gone wrong. Yes. Yeah, that's a good clickbait. But it actually went right.
Yeah, once you look at it from the high level perspective, where you release the rejection
attachments and rejections, yeah, and things, yeah.
Then you can see that actually the ceremony went very well.
Okay, well, I'm curious now. Just tell me the story.
Okay.
Okay.
Shall we read it?
Read it, yes, honey.
Okay, let's start reading.
So, by the way, before you start, mm-hmm. just so you know, in mm-hmm. case you haven't been listening a lot, mm-hmm. you can read this article.
Yes.
At Substack/Inelia.
That's right. All right. At the Olympic Peninsula, we have been getting ready to deliver a workshop that teaches individuals and groups how to make a deep, informative, and harmonizing connection with a parcel of land.
Right.
Through the process of teaching the team of mystics who are going to deliver this workshop, I found out there are various aspects of connecting with the land that are not known by the general population.
Not only that, the team of mystics putting on this connection harmonization workshop are in the second hour, in case you want to get to know them.
Yes, indeed. They are in the second hour. Are part of our panel.
Yes.
Including Larry. Yay! For example, when we think we're going to connect with a parcel of land, we often think we're connecting directly with Gaia. However, this is not automatic. It's not an automatic thing. We can connect with Gaia at any time, anywhere. We don't even have to be in nature to connect with Gaia.
Which asks the question, what part of it is us connecting with Gaia, our body, our soul? Because I think, like, when I'm in the city mm-hmm. and I want to connect with Gaia, I tend to close my eyes and go a soul journey to Gaia. And if I'm in the forest, I tend to close my eyes and then wrap my body around a tree or Gaia or the grass or the moss or, you know. But at some point, the connection isn't a eyes wide open type of thing. It's a close your eyes type of a thing. Have you noticed that?
Well, I'm really glad you brought it up because I've seen that many, many people have that experience. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes from the separation, the Western educational separation that we have, like a taught thing, a learned thing, that let's say something that's made out of plastic or cement is not Gaia. Well, in fact, it is.
Clearly, yeah. When I started to really drill into that, I noticed there aren't very many things here that aren't Gaia.
I haven't found one. Have you ever found something that isn't Gaia?
Yeah, that alien metals. Those alien ones came metals from somewhere else, remember?
Oh, that's right. Thank you for the
Yes.
reminder. That's
There
very interesting.
are bits and bobs
Yes.
that aren't,
Yeah.
but for the vast majority of the things, they all are derived from.
Are you talking about the slivers of metal that man brought onto the UFO convention in Phoenix?
Yeah, the ones you touched
Yeah.
and the ones that they have at Stanford Lab, and they're checking the molecular, like atom to atom to atom thing,
Yeah.
something that couldn't, in their mind, be made here with the gravity we have
Right.
and things like that.
Well, they were definitely. Yes, they could be called not Gaia.
Okay, that'd be it.
Yes.
But there's not that much.
No, I
Taken
mean, maybe
all
this.
mass,
Yeah.
but then again, here's another question that does come, which is, when they add up the amount of pounds of material on Gaia that are from meteorites, little bits of stuff falling from the sky, that is a huge, vast amount every
Yes.
year, which means it's a huge, vast amount over billions of years, more than you could
Yes.
even
You
comprehend.
can even might say that the entire thing is made out of
Not
stardust.
Gaia.
Yeah.
But that is what makes and constitutes Gaia. So
Yes.
you see, we get into a bit of a kerfluffle.
Yes.
So we're just talking about the time that we can remember. Everything is here from the time we're, well, I guess that doesn't count either
Or
because it's
interact with
coming
it.
in as
Yeah,
we're
it could affect cult.
speaking.
That's sort of my point was, it's sort of a whole cultural structure and belief system and
Definition of Gaia.
definition and made up kind of belief system that if you're in front of a computer, you're not connecting with Gaia.
Right, and if you're in a city, that's not Gaia. And if
Right.
you're like, clearly, we can take it to the nth degree where there is literally nothing here that is Gaia. It all came from somewhere else.
Right.
Everything that
You
you're
could
standing
take it,
on.
yeah, you could take it all the way back there, right?
Right.
So, the connection with Gaia, right, is a different thing. And the other aspect of it, when you said you close your eyes and do it, that's also, I think, very personal, right? It's like some individuals to be able to connect with anything, whether it's a tree or their computer or their car or the lake or anything like that, they need to close their eyes and feel into it at a
Like,
different
feel
level.
it at a different level, or even inhale it,
Yeah.
breathe it,
Hear it.
hear it, right? It's like reduce the levels of inputs
Yeah. Yeah.
to make connection. Okay, so, there's plenty to talk about there.
Right. And the point here being that a parcel of land basically is not Gaia,
Yes.
okay? So connecting with a parcel of land means we connect with the given identity of that parcel. Nature naturally parcels land. We can clearly see it by the types of plants and animals that live in different areas of the world. However, these parcels are usually enormous.
Yeah, and they're the scientific word zonation. They're zoned as like alpine zone, everything
Yes.
above an altitude and everything above a latitude, north and south. Is there at that line, no trees grow, and at this line, these trees grow or
Right.
these bushes or whatever. So yeah, they're parceled out that way by climate and by altitude and by geography.
Yeah, and they definitely have a very distinct
Oh yes.
identity.
When you go to the Yukon, for example, you cross over a line, it just all of a sudden you're not where you were. It's a different place. And obviously coming back the other way, you're like, oh, different place.
Yeah.
And when you cross the US, you go, oh, so let's say from the middle, it's like flat and kind of flat, or there's a bunch of lakes or that kind of thing. It's got a place. And at one point, usually I think it's around Idaho or Montana or something like that, all of a sudden it turns into a whole different
Energy.
everything.
Yeah. And it's not just like the physical changes, because I have seen
No,
that,
it's not
right?
just the physical, no.
It's like, did the humans delineate that different parcel, that border, like randomly, or was it something that was there and the humans tapped into it and decided, okay, here's where we're gonna
All of us who
make
are
a line?
thusly, incarnated, will collect in these zones. And those zones are parceled by the humans that are existing there. And
Right.
it's like a tit for tat.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it?
It
That part
is.
of it. And we're not just talking about white people from Europe coming over and putting flags down and deciding this is 10 acres or 600,000 acres and it's mine, you know. It's like, it's way beyond that.
The identity, too, can be either a geographical one. I'm a mountain person, or I'm a water or ocean person, mm-hmm. a beach person, or a wide open plains person,
yeah.
or Texan, desert, or a Floridian, or
desert person,
a Maine, mm-hmm. or Canadian,
yeah.
Canuck. I don't know what word they would use. Or, right, Siberian.
Yes, or Macaw.
Or Macaw. You know, these are...
Or Swedish.
Swedish.
Irish.
So that's Spanish. The identity kind of thing that we're talking about. The identity doesn't necessarily mean European, but it can mean European.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean mountain person, but it can be mountain person. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily mean Clallam Countian or Nea-Bay-Rezerer.
Yeah.
But it can.
It can.
Yeah, we could claim that identity.
Identities. But it's like, where, what came first, the land or the people that identified with that piece of land, right? That's the interesting aspect of the whole thing to me, anyways. Because it seems to be like a co-creation. It's not just one way.
Right, totally. Like the people, the reason Texas is like Texas is because Texans live in Texas.
I know, right?
It's not just because Texas is dry and or hot,
yeah. Right? And I remember once that, I heard in the media about Texans getting really angry that all these Californians were coming there because it was land of freedom.
Yes.
And they said, you're not turning Texas into California. Don't you dare start doing what you did to California over here.
Right.
And I was like, what do they mean, you know?
Right.
And it's like a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of identities there.
A lot of stuff, yeah.
At very, 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 very smaller, in most cases, level. Mm-hmm. The parcels that we identify with are the parcels of land that we buy or own, right, or control in some way.
Yeah.
Might have an acre or even 200 square feet within a larger parcel, maybe an apartment.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
Or might have 10 acres or 100 acres of farm or whatever. Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. So these are the parcels.
Yeah.
Would you consider, like, in the case of this exercise, a parcel the size of Washington State?
You
could.
You
connect?
You can.
Or the mountains of the Olympics?
You can, yes.
So large or small is like, doesn't really
limit you.
You're not limited by that.
No, but what you can do with that land is limited by your co-creators within that land.
Got it.
Right? Not just human, but all souls.
Okay. I think that we've been expanding on this paragraph. Go for mm-hmm. it.
The parcels that are delineated by people, especially through ownership, are also distinct from the parcels around them. No matter how big or small the human-created parcel is, it's still very distinct to the rest of the land. If a person makes a distinct area within their parcel, then the smaller area will develop its own identity. Now, to clarify, this does not mean that the smaller piece within the larger parcel or the larger parcel within the earth are disconnected and independent from each other. All it means is that each parcel has its own identity and sentient entities living within it. And thus, we can connect with those parcels independently than we do from the entire continent or Gaia.
So it's essentially helpful to look at it as like how narrow or wide we're going to focus.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's not like independent entirely. Okay. It's like an artificial construct.
Kind of. And that's where it gets a little bit wobbly.
Because it's artificial or not, it's still a construct and it's still real.
It is still real, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we go into artificial construct, you could say all of reality is an artificial construct, you know?
Yeah. Like we say all of Earth came from outer space.
Right.
So it's not from here. Mm-hmm. But maybe Earth is outer space. Okay. Anyways, yeah. Let's just go back to...
And I'd like to inject another little bit of wisdom again.
All right.
And I've been doing it in several of the podcasts.
Okay.
The word continent and the word containment are the same...
Roots?
Root, the same word, basically.
Yeah. You're contained on your continent?
Yes. Just saying.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so one of the curious things about this aspect of land is how responsive the land and parcels are to being delineated by human beings. I didn't know this until I was in my late 20s.
I know this is going to be a good story. I mean, good story, bad story.
Here comes the storytelling. Because, you know, traditionally, among my people, we teach through story, right? Storytelling is one of our fortes.
Right. So tell me a story, honey.
I'll tell you a story, honey.
Tell me a story about...
My father told me. He would give me a ranch that had been left to him by his own father if I moved back to Chile. This was in the 1990s. This happened in the year 1997. We sold our home in Ireland, where I lived at the time with my first husband and three young children, and we moved to Chile.
Why did your husband want to move to Chile from Ireland? You like the idea of living on a ranch in South America?
He actually didn't know, so he went there on his own.
Oh, he went on his own?
Mm-hmm. Spent a couple of weeks there and then came back and said, yep, we're moving.
Because he really liked it.
I later learned why he really liked it.
Why?
Booze was very, very cheap there.
Oh, alcohol was cheap.
Yes, super cheap. I didn't know that at the time. That's not what he shared with me. Because allegedly he was on the wagon at the time. But later he admitted that was the reason why he wanted to go back. Booze is like 2-5 pennies will buy you a large beer or vodka bottle, whatever.
Well, it's a little bit like gold for some.
Yes.
That's a good reason to move.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's funny, but all right, let's sell our house and move to Chile.
Yeah. Once we got there, my father told us that he had demolished the house at the ranch because of squatters. And that if I wanted the land, I had to buy it from him. So two things. We were going to move into the house,
but there was somebody living in there, so he had to demolish it. You can't just kick the people out.
Well, I later learned that he had actually kicked the people out already.
Yeah, he just told you a story.
Yeah. And then after he kicked the people out, that's when he demolished it, so they wouldn't come back, allegedly.
But so that you wouldn't move in, actually.
Exactly. He didn't want me to move in. Okay. Period. But he didn't.
But he told you he did, but then he just lied to you.
He pretty much lied, yes. Complete lies. What he was after was my money.
Okay, well, how did he pull that off?
Having sold everything in Ireland and having nowhere else to go, my aunt, his sister, told us we could live with her in the old colonial family home. We used some of the money to repair one of the wings and moved in. We also bought the ranch from my father.
I bet he was so pissed. But happy.
He was happy because he got all this money.
He got money.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Market price.
I guess so. But, I mean, it seems like he could sell it at market price to anybody. Why you?
Because to him, it wasn't a real sale.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah,
he sold it, but he didn't sell it.
No, because I was his daughter. He owned me, allegedly. So, you know, I give him money and he keeps both. Right? So, after we bought the ranch, I went over and did the connecting with the land protocol and ceremony that I had actually learned from my father's family.
Hmm.
That's ironic, isn't it?
Ironic.
And I think that's probably
maybe
why...
he did it too.
Oh, I know he did. No, this is true. He did actually do it, right? Yeah. Before. Shockingly, the land told me in no uncertain terms that they did not want me or my family there. And by family, I mean my husband and kids.
Right.
That it wanted my father, and that it would do everything to disrupt our projects there. I'm like, what just happened?
That's not how it's supposed to work.
That's not how it's supposed to work. And my original feelings around, I thought, it's okay, you know, get to know me, my kids.
Yeah, just give it some time.
Give it some time.
Might warm up.
Yeah. We'll get to know each other, and you're going to be just great. You're going to be really happy.
Okay. That seems reasonable.
Yeah. My plan was to rebuild the ranch and move to the land anyway. I had thought of starting a retreat center on it. The next 2 years were fraught with difficulties, the main issue being the inability to generate any type of healthier harmonization with the ranch. Everything I tried was blocked by the land in one way or another. Eventually, we gave up, packed up, and returned to Europe. My last contact with the ranch was that if it didn't start to support me as its owner, I would sell it to the gravel company next door and they would turn it into a car park. It told me it would rather be a car park than a retreat center or anything really to do with me.
Guess it didn't warm up to you.
No. And not only that, but something did happen in between.
Hmm.
We were at the land clearing some blackberry bushes, and my father arrives, right?
Yeah.
And as soon I was on the other, I mean, this is big property, right?
I don't know.
Well, it was a big property. I mean, it wasn't like extraordinarily large, but it was big enough to be a ranch.
Okay.
Anyways, I was on the other end of the ranch near the river, because the back of the ranch had a river going through it, Cachapoal.
Sounds
beautiful.
Nice.
Oh, it's stunning, beautiful, amazing. It's like a dream come true, you know? Amazing. Only it wasn't to be my dream. But anyways, we'll get there eventually to that part of the story. But I felt the land suddenly come alive.
When
it was sparkly and beautiful and alive and super, super, super happy. And I felt and I thought, oh my God, it's happened, you know? It's finally connected with me. And it said, not you. And I saw an image of my dad and I started walking. I went over to walk to the front of the ranch. And sure enough, there was his car and he was sitting in a bench and stuff.
Well, I'll be.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And we had the conversation, my dad and I, and he said, well, I don't want this piece of shit, but you're not having it, right? And I felt the heartbreak in the ranch, like its rejection, right? From yeah. the full-on rejection. And I said, look, you know, he doesn't want you, so what you gonna do, right?
It's all about rejection. The land rejects you, he rejects it. It's yeah. like a big triangle of rejection.
All rejection, left, right, and center. Within a year after I left Chile, at some point during those 2 years in Chile, I started thinking that it was Gaia that was rejecting me and my family from being on the land. The truth is out, I visited other land in the region that was partly owned by me through inheritance. That's when I discovered that each parcel had its own personality and desires for expression. It was actually a really nice research project that I did. That's when I discovered that each parcel had its own personality and desires of expression. Some of the parcels begged me to move in, while others didn't mind what happened to them. The great majority wanted to know how to support me and my family. I didn't want to use those agreeable lands, however, because even though the land was very willing, the ownership was not solidified as multiple inheritors had a claim to it. It was a legal mess which would have cost a fortune to sort out. And I did try to with one of them. And it was like kind of freaking nightmare. There was like 20 inheritors. Two of them wanted it for themselves. The others had taken legal action to stop them moving in. It was like really bad. And it was like, yeah, you're going to have to wait until I die before you move into that parcel because I couldn't type energy, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, in that sense, you could probably have used the land to help the process along, but it would have been more like power over others forcing.
Yes. Yeah. It would have been power over others forcing for sure.
I guess land isn't really bothered by the whole power over others thing.
No. No, it doesn't actually. No.
Okay. It's fine with having a landslide get you out of there.
Yes. Yeah. Within a year after I left Chile, the company next door offered me 10 times the value of the ranch to buy it. A realtor called me about the land, and I told her the minimum price I would accept was 10 times the market value. On her next call, she had a formal offer from the neighbors. I tapped into the ranch, and it was jumping for joy. I actually also, you know, I called my brother and sister, because energetically they hadn't released it either.
Jeez.
Yeah.
How did they even have a claim on it?
Through my mother. An inheritance claim?
I guess it was an inheritance thing.
Yeah.
So inheritances can be a bit messy is what you're saying.
Yeah. So I bought half the half that my dad owned.
Yeah.
Because my mom had passed away. I bought that from him. And then I got written.
The part that your mom owned was shared with your sister and brother?
My brother, sister, and me. Yeah.
So you would have had to pay your dad a half and your brother and sister a third each.
Yes.
Of a half.
Yes. And that's what I actually did.
Okay.
I actually did that. Right. But then when I actually sold it for 10 times,
you
I gave them
all that.
No, I didn't.
But
actually,
you should have.
I should have, but I didn't. I was stupid.
Well, I don't know what call stupid, but I'll just say generous.
Okay, let's call it generous, but I also gave my dad half, minus a whole bunch of money that he had borrowed from my auntie. I gave that to her directly because she did all the legal stuff for me. And he went nuts. He got so mad with me. And I gave...
Well, I was like, good job.
And then I gave also a third and a third to of the half, a sixth each of, to my brother and sister.
Well, I guess I don't understand why, but...
I wasn't... it's like energetically...
Because you had just bought it from them, so it was yours.
I know, but it was energetically... It wasn't, you know?
I guess
it was
so.
Like, it was just a mess.
Let's just settle with his family.
Yeah.
And sometimes that could be a bit messy.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... why did you come up with a 10 times the value if you didn't? I mean, it seems to me like you would sell it at nearly any price. Like, okay, I'm done with you. You're sold. But you wanted 10 times. Where did that come from? Did you get guidance or anything?
No, I just didn't want to sell it.
Oh, it's like that would be enough that you would overcome your I don't want to sell it.
Yeah, I don't want to sell it. So, yeah, I won't accept anything less than 10 times. Because, you know, and these companies, like, they're, you know, generally speaking, these kind of businesses, they're not going to give, like, too much money for land or anything like that.
Yeah, but in the case of this company that was next door, mm-hmm. they can't buy, there isn't any land on the planet that's available that's next door to them for any price besides mm-hmm. what's next door to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of, like, have them over a barrel if they really want it. Then the price doesn't matter.
I didn't think about any of that.
Well, I'm just saying for them. For them, that value of the value of the land is 10 times the value of any other.
Obviously. It
was.
I mean, they offered it.
That's the only land available is right next door to them.
Right.
I got it.
Yeah. And when I tapped into the ranch, she was jumping for joy. I'm like, really? Really? This is what's going to happen? Not only that, but when you have land, especially to those dimensions and size, you need to be there to take care of it,
mm-hmm.
right? And I wasn't. I was on the other side of the world. And I'd had multiple calls from the caretaker, this, and then that happened, and it was like a white elephant, you know, draining my funds from Europe to sort all sorts of things that were happening on the land.
Yeah, I get it.
And it was like, yeah, because it was still working from that energy. So I sold it. It was then that I discovered that although my father had asked the full market price from the ranch from me, he had never actually wanted to sell the ranch to me. He never thought I would actually complete the transaction. I was just using the ranch as a bait to get me there. But he still owned the ranch at an energetic level. As we're family, even though it was legally transferred to me, he never actually transferred ownership to me at an energetic level. As his daughter, he felt he owned me, and therefore the ranch also. The ranch still responded to him as his true owner. It says a lot as to how my father felt about me. And he later told me that he did not want me moving to the ranch and had been doing everything possible to stop me from doing so. To this day, I don't know why. Mm. It's just one of those things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just bizarre.
It is bizarre.
Yeah. Back in Europe, I continued tapping into parcels of land and homes that I visited and discovered that each parcel of land resonated at the same frequency as its owner. It amplified their frequency. It also amplified any type of energy or issue the owners were carrying. Often, I would use the information from the land to discern whether to stay connected or make friends with a person or not. I remember I told my sister this little fact, right?
Right.
And she was married to this guy, and she still actually is, in Spain. And one of the brothers, she wasn't sure about him, right? And she wasn't sure about his personality, whether he was real, truthful, or whether he was a bad person to be around. Yeah, see, this whole rich families in Spain, they're not necessarily good people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she wasn't sure about this guy. She couldn't figure him out. And then one day, he invites everybody to a barbecue at his new place that he'd bought in the country. He'd bought this land in the country and built a tiny mansion there, beautiful, with all the you know, pools, infinity pools and gardens and all the things. And her immediate reaction was, no, I'm not going. And I said, no, 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 you want to know about him? Let's go to the land and see what kind of person he really is, right? So told her all about this, and she said, oh my God, yeah, let's go. And it was a pretty long drive. And I think, I don't remember if we had to stay there overnight or not. I don't remember, it was a long time ago. But we got there and we went into the land and I felt this energy. And this was a good guy.
Mm.
He was like so good. But he did have a mental illness. He had, they call it, what do they call it? You know when they go really, really happy and they go really, really sad?
Oh, manic.
Manic depression, yeah. So time spent manic, time spent depression, right?
Well, it's just very extreme on both sides.
Yes, extremely extreme. Yes. That's what he had. And you could feel it in the land. Like, you could feel that thread. But his soul, his person, he was a brilliant light worker. I mean, he was a nice, good, good person. And she's like, oh, that's why I couldn't figure him out. You know, she was just confused about him. Because, you know, one moment he'd be calling her a fucking gold digging Indian and go back home to Chile or whatever. And the next is like, oh, you're my best friend and blah, 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 right? So.
Yeah, that would be confusing.
Yeah, so she didn't know where.
Is it he's a root bad guy pretending good or he's a root good guy pretending who has bad minutes?
Yeah, which one is the real him that gets taken over by the other thing?
Right.
Right. So anyways.
So Lan could tell you.
The land, and I showed her how to do it, how to tap in and everything, and she was like, holy smokes, you know? It's true, I can feel him. And she, even during that barbecue, she went up to him, like, differently, because she understood, and she knew his energy.
Mm-hmm.
And they sat down, and I remember they had a really long chat and everything, you know? And then they were best mates for the rest of their lives. It's like they were really good friends. And when he was in the really, really bad spots, I mean, other people wanted to put him in a nut house and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She stood up for him and she was his...
advocate.
Advocate, yeah. Yeah. She wouldn't leave him alone in the hospital or anything. It's like radical. It's radical. You can get so much information. I mean, that's just one example, right? That the information that you can get from a piece of land that somebody owns.
Got it.
What that can carry. And by own, I mean you own the place. People often think that when you have a mortgage on your house, you don't own it. But that's not correct. You own the land, you own the house, depending on the country, that is. And any loans you get on it, is that as you put that as security. If I don't pay my loan, you can have my house. That's the mortgage.
You're really, with the mortgage and whatnot, you're giving up the right to sell it, or you've, in a sense, not so much don't own it, you own it.
You do own
it. You've pre-transferred it without conducting the transfer. Like it's a physical transfer without an energetic transfer.
No,
or
it's
one
not
of those
even
kind
that.
Of things.
No. It's not even a transfer.
Because they can, I guess, claim ownership or claim or claim or sell it or whatever.
They can't
claim their money back.
Unless you stop paying the loan, right?
Right.
If you forfeit the loan.
If you violate your contract,
right.
then they can. But you still own it.
You are the owner. And even when they claim it, they have to.
They own the contract, but you own the land.
Yes.
You own the place.
Yeah.
But they do own a contract.
They do own the contract. You signed it and you put it security for a loan. Right.
Okay. That makes sense about the owner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where were we? Stay connected and make friends or not, right?
Right.
Ironically, the land connection and harmonizing ceremony and protocol I use are learned from my aunt, my father's sister, who learned it from their father, who learned it from his father, my great-grandfather. This man was a former alchemist and magician from Spain. It has evolved and become more effective through generations of evolution. This is the protocol and ceremony that will be taught by Access Gaia in April 2024.
Can't wait.
It clearly doesn't make land yours, but it does give you data you need to decide how to engage with particular parcels. Right?
Right.
Before we go on to the next bit.
Yep.
Okay, let me just finish this bit.
Okay.
While my intent with my father's land was to live there and build, it wasn't having it yet. It certainly was willing to be sold for 10 times its value. So working with it was functionally successful, while fighting it wasn't.
Right. Imposing your will on it.
Wasn't going
to
work.
But you need to know what its will is.
Exactly. And it has to agree to it.
Right. Well, it also has to be, it's like engaging with it and having the conversation rather than just imposing your will and hoping that, yeah, I mean, hopefully it goes along with it.
Right.
It's like, you might as well know ahead of time. And if it doesn't go along with it or doesn't agree with it or has a block, there could be ways to work around it, but you have to have the data in order to even start working around
it. Exactly, yes. So I want to talk a little bit about my great-granddad and the ranch.
All right.
Okay, so here's what happened. My great-granddad was immigrant from Spain, okay?
And this ranch we're talking about, the one that your dad
in Chile.
You bought, that was his originally?
Well, here it goes. So this is how it happened. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, here goes. So my great-granddad was an immigrant from Spain, but he was from a wealthy family. They went in, bought a bunch of land, houses. I mean, the family home was half a block, you know, or a third of a block, one of those. And blah, 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 blah. Right. So very wealthy family arrives. He was from a lineage of people in Spain who had a couple of jobs. That lineage had a couple of jobs within the structure, societal structure of Spain. One of them was alchemist to the royal family. And the other was the king whisperer. It's the family that says yes or no to a king.
Okay.
Right? Whether the king can become. And also then would whisper in the king's ear. My family then evolved, but he wasn't the oldest son. He wasn't. He was, I think, the youngest of several. So by the time he was born, all of that lineage and power and everything else had been passed on to other people, to his older siblings. And the best that the family could do for their younger two of the sons, or three. I can't remember. I think it might have been two or three. I can't remember now exactly, but let's say two of them, the youngest, what they did was to give them a fortune and send them to find their own fortune or grow it in the colonies. So and they ended up in Chile.
Oh, cool.
Right? And they worked together for a while, and then they got into a little skiffle fight, and they shared region, so you go to the south and I'll go to the north, kind of thing. But the north and south were like an hour apart at the time because Chile wasn't completely colonized. Now the area that we're talking about is one of the regions, I think it's the ninth region or the O'Higgins region. It was pretty new when he got there, like maybe mid to late 1800s. And the way that the colonists had divided the land was that people would get ribbons and horses and carts, or even if you didn't have a horse and cart, you'd run. And the land was parceled up artificially in different sizes. And you ran and you claimed one, right? So it's like as people were claiming them, the place got further and further away, you know? So that had been done with the whole area, the whole region of like hundreds of thousands of acres for that area. And my grandfather, great-grandfather, did not partake in that. He came in after, maybe a few years later. Because of his status as, you know, within the colony, he was recognized for his family. They gave him a title, which was the sheriff, of the waterways, which was, I mean, if legal, yeah. So there's different, like sheriff of the land or criminals, whatever. But the waterways were more valuable than gold in Chile at the time in that area. Because people were having ranches, and if you don't have water certain times of the year, the dry season, it's over. You die.
You don't have a ranch and you don't live.
Yeah. So the water was literally more valuable than gold. And he was placed as the sheriff there. And he very quickly established that he was incorruptible. Nobody could pay him off for more water or to steal the water from others, because there was no more. There was a limited amount, and everybody had a right to that water with the land that they had claimed with mm-hmm. those sticks, right? Mm-hmm. But there were people who had, you know, a lot of resources and men with guns, and would basically bully the others out of their water and pay the sheriff, the previous sheriff, for doing that.
Ignore it or let it happen.
Yeah, let it happen, right?
Yeah.
And my great-granddad stopped that first day on the job.
Sure, that went over like a lead balloon.
Yeah. But then he was called in. They respected that, right? Nobody could push him around. Nobody could corrupt him. And as a thank you, the landowners gave him a parcel of land, a ranch, as a thank you. And they said, it's not a bribe, it's a thank you, you know, it's just a gift. And I don't remember when it happened. I think it might have been when he retired, but I'm not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a massive ranch. I mean, like I said, maybe 3 hectares. It was a tiny little thing, right? I think there's 3 acres per hectare. So that's a really tiny little piece of land, right? In comparison to everything that was around him. But it was stunning. It was beautiful. And also, nobody wanted it. Shall I tell you why nobody wanted it?
Yes.
Okay. The reason nobody wanted it was because I told you, you know, there was a river at the end of it. Mm-hmm. The river Cachapoal in the summer, in the winter or spring, bursts its banks. And it's a white water river that bursts its banks.
So it's a wild bursting.
Wild. Wild. It takes everything in its path. It takes people, trees, animals, houses. It takes everything. Right? Mm-hmm. And the ranch was right in the little corner where the river turned. And everybody who had started to settle there had everything taken from them. Everything. Gone. So, present, not present, you know, yeah, build your ranch, whatever. Do whatever you like with this land, but don't be here in the spring when the snow melts, you know. Don't, you know, be here in the winter when the weather causes the river to flood, right? That's what they said to him. It's your summer location. Nice. It's beautiful. Nice.
It's beautiful. Go enjoy it. But I wouldn't, you know.
Do anything. Don't plant anything it. Don't try to get crops. Don't do anything because it's going to fail. Because everybody else had been washed out of there. Nobody wanted it. So present, not present. You know, it's like, nice. It was a nice gesture. Nobody mm-hmm. wanted it. Whatever, right? So what did he do? He did this protocol. But not only that, and this is one of the secrets of the family, he did alchemy magic on it. And he planted the an identity parcel mm-hmm. within the ranch where he built the house, right? Where he later built the house. So he delineated about probably 5-6 acres. So I guess the ranch was more than 3 hectares. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was a lot more than that. But he delineated all these acres with the magic and the alchemy. And he told the land and he told the river, you do not cross.
Right. All up to here is yours if you want to.
Yeah.
But so past here, just don't go past here.
Exactly. The river, don't care how big you are or how much flooding you're doing, you don't cross this line.
Which reminds me of the Shaman Shack. Because remember last year, the year before, when the water was so high, you couldn't drive anywhere. Uh-huh. But our garage and behind the Shamit Shack, it didn't flood.
Yes,
and
yes.
Usually
it floods
when nowhere else is flooded. Yes. But this time, that was the only place that didn't flood.
Yes, exactly. Like, just like that.
Just like that.
So when he was doing his thing, this alchemist magician thing, the locals were watching, people were watching, you know, thinking he was a crazy man, you know. Even his relatives and his wife were like, oh my gosh, you know, here we go. You know, lawless little canon, whatever. And the family's attitude was, we'll just let him do his thing, you know, because he's the patriarch. And
yeah, you
know,
what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Just let him do his thing. He makes him happy. You know, what are you gonna do? Anyways, he did this thing and he built his ranch, right? Mm-hmm. Beautiful, adobe, gorgeous. I mean, I remember from when I was little. It was beautiful, right? Beautiful. And first winter comes, and then spring, the first major flood comes, and the river, the water, the whole flood literally comes up to that edge and turns for no apparent reason downhill.
That's good.
The other way.
So
and everybody, it worked, absolutely. And this was decades and decades and decades and decades ago when my granddad was a tiny boy, right? And he was born in 1900, I think, somewhere like that.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
It worked, right? It really, really worked. Not only that, but the first time he actually went on his horse and he told all the neighbors, with the specific neighbors, to go and shelter at his ranch. Everybody thought he was crazy. Except that when the flood started destroying their homes, they did. They ran up to the ranch and saw that what was happening, it was magic. Literally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they stayed there. And after that, every year when the floods were coming, the people would run to the ranch for shelter.
That's
with their chickens and their cows and their pigs and all their things, right? Because it was magic. Nobody knew what was going on. When I first arrived and I found out that my dad had demolished the ranch, I thought, oh my God, I hope he didn't undo the magic, you know? My great-granddad's magic, if he did that, we're screwed. It doesn't matter what we build, it's going to be gone.
Unless you could do the magic again.
Well, that part... How to make a river, not a whitewater river, not flood through your house. I don't know how to do that part. I never learned, right?
Oh, no.
I mean, maybe I can figure it out, but yeah. My auntie sold all his books and his stone and everything. So she sold it to someone. But anyways, we might be able to figure it out, but that is...
We're going to have to go buy some books and some
He was trained. He'd be... by his dad and his granddad and long lineage, thousands of years back, right?
A little bit like in the 13th Mage book, those kind of mages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So anyways, the first year we were there, I remember when somebody told me the Cachapoal is flooding and I'm like, oh shit, you know.
Let's go see.
We went up to the bridge. You know that bridge that we go through that they're rebuilding? They're up here that they're doing a new one
across that river. Crescent. Elwha River.
Elwha River, yeah.
It's way up.
Yeah. Well, it was up to the, like that high, but it was up to the edge.
My gosh, yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way there's anything left of the ranch, man. It's like, it's over the first year because my dad had demolished it. And I thought, it's over, you know. We got to the ranch and I saw the line. It wasn't over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was still good. Attached to the building.
It wasn't attached to the building, no. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, all these stories that I've been told growing up and all the things and the neighbors and everything, it's real, you know, my gosh. And sure enough, there were neighbors in the
sheltering
in the spot and where the house had been before, the ranch, right?
Yeah.
Where the building had been before, there was neighbors sheltering there.
That's hilarious.
And I was like, no way, how is this even real or possible? So that's the level of magic, you know, that's the level of connection that you can actually reach. And, you know, it's like, I was pretty sad that didn't work out for me, but I mean, looking at it from then, I mean, I'd still be living there if I had worked
You would have,
out,
yeah,
right?
set your roots.
I wouldn't have never started teaching or anything. I would have been happy with the
You'd
ranch.
Have been unbudgeable.
Yeah. Very happy living my life at the ranch, you know. And yeah. I have lots of stories. I mean, all the issues that this ranch brought me and had to resolve and, you know. Yeah, let's just say that my great-great-granddad, right? He was like 6'2" or 3" or something from Spanish stock. And he, our lineage came from the, well, that part of the lineage came from the Jews that were converted into Catholicism. In previous recent history in Spain, not so here, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it was 1450. I don't know when they happened that they started burning Jews alive if they didn't convert. So that's when they did it. They converted. But he was still had all the features, right? So the hook nose, all the things. And horses in Chile were really small, the colonial horses. So when he used to do his job as sheriff, he would get on his horse and he could touch the ground with his legs, with his feet.
Oh my God, I can imagine that was ridiculous.
It was really ridiculous, right? He didn't care though, right? It was what he had, right? Horses were tiny. But the funny thing is that the locals started calling him El Quijote, Don Quijote. El Quijote, not Don Quijote. They called him El Quijote, which is a book. Don Quijote is a book. And I don't know if you've ever seen imagery of Don Quixote, but he's on a donkey and thinks he's a knight fighting like giants, and the giants are the mills, the windmills.
Okay.
And yeah, he attacks them, and he's got a friend, really. He's esquire. You know, and a different donkey protects him all the time, makes sure nobody hurts him, whatever, right? It's a little bit crazy. But that's his name for people called him El Quijote in that area. And after a couple of things that happened where I had to put my foot down with the local authorities, where a couple arrived, they were brother and sister, actually. They were really, really old. This couple arrived, a man and a woman. And I don't know. I mean, their kids said that they had to get him out of, you know, their wheelchairs, really, to get them up to the ranch. I was at the ranch and they arrived to meet La Hija del Quijote, which means the daughter of the...
Well, Quijote's.
Yeah. That's Quijote's funny. Daughter. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why? What happened? And the guy who made the introduction told me, well, they have something to say. And their accent was really strong also. So he kind of translated for me. And basically, it was the incorruptible, but also nobody steps on him energy, right? Nobody mm-hmm. is going to bully him into anything. And they had heard through the neighbors and other people that that's what had happened. Yeah. So one of the things that happened, why did this happen? I know we're going way over time. We're nearly an hour in. I'm going to tell you one last story.
Okay.
Right. So incorruptible and the land and the people, society and all the things.
Okay.
How is this connected? So with the house and everything, the name and whatever, I don't look anything like them, right? But I do look exactly identical to my grandfather's first daughter.
Okay.
Right? My dad's oldest sister who died when she was 4.
Right.
I am physically identical to this little girl. And my granddad, because of that, he had a soft spot for me and adored me, basically. He hated my dad. But he adored me.
That's hilarious.
Which is really weird, right? So anyways, when one of the things that the ranch brought about and they tried to bully me with was when I went to the office of the waterways and said, okay, I need to know the day and the time of day where that I can water my land because I'm going to start planting. And they turn around and say, you don't have one.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have one, and you can't take water. And I said, where's the agreement for that? Because when I got the ranch, I know there's a verbal agreement that we can have water forever, in perpetuity, for the rest of eternity. He says, well, that was a verbal agreement. It was never written down, so it's not legally binding. That's what they said to me. So you can't have water. Don't take it, or we'll take you to jail. He says, very well, then. Show me the contract that says your waterway can go through my land. Where's that? Where's the permits for that? No, well, that was a verbal agreement. We didn't have any permits. Very well, then. Then I refuse you access to my land. You have to build your waterway on the other side of the roadway or the road or somewhere else, because you no longer have rights to put water through my land.
Was it the river, some kind of a canal or something?
No, it was a canal. It was a little canal that went through all the properties.
Okay.
And they said, well, legally, I said, anybody who has one of these cement structures or stone structures with a little thingy, whatever's, they can only get one of those in the waterway if you have a right for water. Isn't that correct? Yes. Well, there's two of those in my ranch. Yeah, but they're not for you. Those were promised to your great-granddad and they don't.
And you're not him.
You're not him, right? So it's all very well. Okay, so anything that you agree with my granddad is void and nullified. Yes. Okay, good. And I left. Right? And then I drove straight to a company that I had employed before to build and dig certain things. They had all these machines, digging mm-hmm. machines. And I went in there knowing that one of the owners was brother or relative of some sort, of close relative, I think it was a brother, with one of the heads of the waterways company, the governmental.
Yeah, so whatever you say to him, he'll probably get to them.
Yes. So I went over and I said, okay, I need to book one of your big diggers for Monday. How soon can you do it? Monday. Okay. Yeah, sure. I says, what is it you want to dig? Well, I'm going to delete the waterway and the canal. It needs to be removed from my land. I don't want it there anymore. It's taking a lot of acreage and I don't want it there. It's splitting my land in half, blah, 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 blah. So yeah, I want this and what do I need and how much is it going to cost? So, oh, yeah, you'd need this, this, and the other, and it's going to cost blah. Great. I wrote a check. And I gave it to him. See you Monday. During the weekend, I went to the ranch and I sat down looking at the fields, right? And this old guy starts walking up. I say, oh, hi, hello, hello. He said, hi, hi. And he comes and sits next to me. And he says, do you know who I am? I says, I have no idea who you are. He said, I don't know what you're doing in my land. You're trespassing. He says, yeah, I'm sure. I know. Don't shoot me. He says, I won't. Maybe. And he says, I'm your neighbor. I owned the lands that way and lands up here. It was pretty well quickly established that he was a major landowner. We're talking hundreds of acres or maybe thousands of acres of land, right? And he was going to be affected. And he said, it's about the, you know, you're going to be really digging up this canal? I said, yeah. He says, well, that's going to affect me. He says, that's too bad. Talk to the neighbor across the road. I'm sure he'll have no issues with you using their canal because they had another canal on the other side. He says, yeah, that's going to be a problem. He's my competitor. Yes. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to make friends with him. I have no rights for the water that flows through here. And the company has no rights to have this canal here. There's no agreement. There's no contract, nothing. And he said, yeah, I heard. Yeah. And you're serious? I said, oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to gain several acres just getting rid of this thing here. Mm-hmm. Right? This is very good land. I'll figure something out. Dig a well or something. There's several wells. It'll be fine. I see. Okay, and there's nothing I can do to persuade you to change your mind or be nice about this. Says, this is me being nice about this. I haven't shot you yet. It's like, because he was coming in a little bit strong, you know, a little bit bullying. Like, who am I, a powerful person? I can destroy your life type of thing, right? And he's like, yeah, I can see that. I respect that, he said. Anyways, before you do anything, please wait for me. Before your machines start working, please wait for me. I'm going to go and talk to them. I said, great. Awesome. I like to have allies and I like to have be good neighbors. This is a good thing. Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a great thing. So he leaves. And then Monday morning, instead of the machines arriving, he arrives. Gives me my check back. And he said, I don't know what you did. I honestly don't know, he said. But when I went to talk to them, they're willing to do anything to keep the contract going, to keep the agreement, the original agreement, which they shouldn't have broken, even though it was verbal. This is the physical evidence that it was an actual agreement. Mm-hmm. From keeping you from water. So you're going to have Tuesdays at 10 a.m. till 10 till 12. Great. So they, you know, ripped up my check and that was it. And that's what got around. That was one of the stories that got around. One of the stories that the ranch tried to implement, right?
Right.
To get just me out of there.
Just get rid of water.
Yeah.
So you feel like the land, who talked to the, whoever the other landowner went to go see? I mean, how did they change their mind? It's just the land heard the conversation, understood it wasn't going to succeed, so it gave up or what? What would your interpretation be? Because I thought that the giant landowner guy going to talk to them would straighten them out because he must have some power there or something.
I think probably, yeah, that's probably what happened, right? Because he tried to bully me first. That didn't work.
So he went and bullied them?
Yeah, he went and bullied them.
But he told you didn't know what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. But they were very willing to be bullied kind of thing, you know?
Okay.
Because, you know, little dictators... I mean, he even mentioned that, you know, it's like trying to get these people to agree to anything or do anything nice or willing to do anything is like, you know, impossible.
You right? need to have the right leverage, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the main one that got around. And he's actually the one who brought the old couple, the old brother and sister over and translated for me. And they told me about my great granddad. And a lot of other stories they told me, and that everybody knew him and everybody loved him. And they told me why his name was El Quijote, by the horse and all that. And they wanted to meet the hija del Quijote, you know.
Mm.
So that was kind of cool. It's about people. And sometimes you think you're alone. You think you're doing these things alone or connecting with the land alone and stuff. But it's almost like... the land listens and people listen. And when I saw the joy that the ranch was feeling about being sold to the company,
which was I guess the one that you talked to, right?
No,
he was your neighbor.
Yeah, but neighbor as in, you know, using the same canals in the same area. But he wasn't the direct neighbor.
Okay.
He didn't own that land.
Okay.
And he didn't own the land directly below me either.
Okay. Just downstream.
Downstream, yeah. Upstream and downstream he owned hundreds of thousands of acres. But, yeah, his land, I think he might have been even beyond past the bridge, you know.
Okay. All right.
It's like people are watching, beings are listening. I thought I was alone and that nothing that I did was ever seen, perceived or acknowledged or whatever. But I think it was. And then when I felt the land being so happy about this other company selling it, I think it felt the friction and the inability to move in any direction because of my dad.
Tangled things. Yeah, would be resolved by that.
Yes.
Because physically and energetically, your dad didn't really have a claim on
accord
to that guy or that company. So his energetic claim would be
gone.
To vanished. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the land could be free to be unencumbered.
Expressed. Exactly. And we might judge, you know, we might judge, oh, now he's a giant car park or whatever.
He don't care.
He
probably
didn't
likes
care.
It.
He loved it. Not only that, but when I tapped into when we were doing the final signing of documents and things. And like I said, I did a at a distance with my auntie. When we're doing all the things, and the guy called, or I was in a conversation with the realtor and him, the owner, the new owner, and me talking things. He loved that ranch. He loved it. Right? He'd grown up next to it. He'd played there with, I don't know, my dad, I guess, when they were little. He loved it. So it's like, oh, okay.
Yep.
Is he a car park right now? I think so. Oh, I don't know.
We can Google map it, I guess.
You could. Anyways, we've gone over an hour, so.
Finish off your paragraph then, the last paragraph.
Okay, the last paragraph. The fact that the land is responsive to our human borders indicates a deep and ancient connection between us, humans, and the land. As light workers, it is time for us to relearn this skill to consciously connect with our own land and start working with it, allowing it to amplify our best intentions, love, and high frequency. That is why I'm teaching land connection protocols. We have the skill set and tools to naturally do this work. We have the mission and purpose to be the light. It is just a matter of learning and applying the protocol and ceremony around it, and having the capacity to interpret the data we receive in an accurate and useful way. It is time to power up. And you can sign up. Actually, there's only 20 places for it. But if you're listening to this before April 2024, you can sign up for the live workshop. The In the Land right. workshop. At accessgaia.org. Okay, that's the nonprofit.
And and if you feel urgency about it, do it. You know, it's your, here's your help in urgency.
Yes.
If you are blocked in some way, know that, this isn't the only opportunity you will ever have.
It's not going but to be an opportunity.
If you feel the urgency, then it's the only chance you'll ever have.
Oh my gosh, yes.
If that helps you.
Yeah. All right, that's it.
Yeah, let's have a chat with the mystics.
Yes, let's have a chat with them to
see what they have to say. I know they're going to have... Oh, I even see one of them popping in right now.
Yeah, they did. They totally
did you see that?
To the article. Yes.
My gosh. Mystics work.
Kara.
Hi.
All right, we'll see you in a few minutes
in
for the second
hour.
Part.
Yeah. Go to Subscribestar. It's $8 a month.
For the second
you get
hour.
All the second hour episodes.
Everything.
You get an after party. Where we, talk about what we just talked about, except for you're in the conversation
exactly.
too.
Exactly. That's really cool. And that's a way to support our work.
And it supports our work.
Definitely.
All right. Thank
See
you.
Bye.
Love you, honey.
Love you. And I didn't have any money. So I went up to him and said, can I have some money to get? He says, no, I don't have any money, but I can tell you how to get one. And I said, well, I'm not going to steal it. It says, well, it's not called stealing if you're doing it to a bad person. And I tested that for energy lines. And I thought, oh, that's actually true. If it's a bad person, you can take things from them. Right? Which to me was like a shocking surprise.